This world is yours, and I'm yours. We come today to listen to your words, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart. Speak to me. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Change us, transform us. I thank you. I thank you for today. The day that you have made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. I surrender today into your hand. Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a seat, everyone. How are you all? It's nice to be in Melbourne today. Not the past few days. It was crazy hot, 38 degrees. But yeah, that's Melbourne. Hot, cold. If we can have experience 4 seasons in a day, what a privilege, right? It's not a coincidence that you guys are here today. And I believe in no coincidence at all. I remember a few weeks ago when Pastor August asked me to preach today, and he said, "Jimmy, can you please speak about this topic?" Really? Because that topic was in my mind for the past 3 weeks prior to that, before he spoke to me. So I'm excited. It's Holy Spirit. It just moves us together. And I believe today the word is for you and me, not just for you, but it's also for me. And spoke to Ivan this morning, Ivan as well, saying, "Oh, Jimmy, what are you going to speak today?" It's about this topic. And then, "Oh, great." Because that's how we actually trying to rely on the Holy Spirit when they doing the worship, preparing the songs and stuff. And we don't contact each other, even though we know that who's going to be leading the worship, who's going to be preaching, but we don't really talk. We just pray and prepare our best, all right? So that is how God works in our life. And I'm glad that today we're going to be listening to the Word of God. And welcome to the first time. If you are first comers to Prayer Center, welcome. And I like to begin with my preaching today is about Jesus love everyone. Jesus love you and Jesus love me. And it doesn't matter whether you're coming today from Dandenong Road. Are you coming today from, Dandenong is that way. Dandenong Road or Alma Road, or even you come from the ceiling, from the roof. Yeah. Today we're going to be learning something in Mark 2 about four guys who carry his friend paralyzed, trying hard, work hard to get him, his friend, to encounter with Jesus, to have radical experience with Jesus that changed him, changed this guy inside out. All right, you're going to learn today. Mark 2, verse 1 to 5. Prepare this in the projector so we can read it together. And when he returned to Capernaum, he is Jesus. After some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We're going to jump to the next verse 10. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic. "I said to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And the last verse, "And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all." So that they were all amazed and glorified God and saying, "We never saw anything like this." First, before we go through the whole chapter, I'm just going to talk about the word paralytic, it's just a word that we don't really use much. But the meaning of paralytic is means paralyzed. Paralyzed is when part of your body, it doesn't function. If your leg is paralyzed, it means that you cannot walk properly. If your hand paralyzed, it cannot function properly. If your face paralyzed, you cannot express, has that facial expression properly. So in the old days, many people, when they had this symptom, have this kind of sickness, they think that they must have done something wrong with this guy. There's a God judgment, there's a divine judgment upon this guy's life, the paralyzed guy. Often they label this guy, this type of guy, as a sinner. Often they have isolated this kind of guy. They don't want to get near to them because they know God's judgments upon this guy. Now today we can relate with this story by understanding that we are all paralyzed. We are all spiritually paralyzed at some stage, at some point in our life. So what is spiritual paralyzed? It is when we cannot function what God wants us to function in our life. When we cannot see God's purpose in our life, that would be the time before we meet Jesus. Life without Jesus is like the paralyzed man, where he's helpless, restricted, cannot move, and there is no freedom in their life. They don't have the capacity to come to Jesus by himself. So there are people in our life that never reach to Jesus unless they are brought by others. The story teaches us the importance of working together to carry the weight of the paralyzed guy or the lost people to meet Jesus. Mark 2:3 is saying, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. There's a word came. They came, they bring, and they carry. This is the mattress in the old day. It's not like the heavy mattress that we currently sleep in. It is the mattress where you can just roll it. It's made of cotton and wool. But imagine, have you actually ever tried to carry an adult? Average weight adult, 75 kg maybe, 70, 80. It's not easy to carry a full-grown man. We don't know whether there is a frame that's supporting this bed or not. No idea, because Bible doesn't say anything about that. But either way, it's not going to be easy task to do. Carry a load of 75 kg, it's much easier if you carry it together with others. When that 75 kg divided by 4 is much easier than you yourself carry this paralyzed friend of yours to see Jesus. We're talking about team today. What is team? Church is a team. Life group is a team. And husband and wife can make a great team as well. This is teamwork. Little fish, big fish, medium fish come together. There are differences in all of us. Imagine these four guys, they have different shape, different tall, different height. And imagine if I am one of those guys, and next to me is someone like Aswin, who's 187 centimeters. I feel like a dwarf sometimes standing next to him. But thing is, someone like Aswin with that sort of height would be stepping a wider distance rather than me. Someone might have a different strength in their muscle, and the weakest one might need to change their hand more often than others. So I'm talking about when you are in the team, it's not going to be comfortable. You need to adjust. You need to adjust, and you need to find the right rhythm that suits for everyone to move, to carry together this paralyzed friend. When we work in the team, we need understandable. We need to understand, and we need to accept each other's differences. we need to be in unity as well. Unity means moving as one. Four people move as one. As one body of Christ, which means that all body parts meant to stick together, protect each other, love one another, and move as one. At church, we've been given a different spiritual gift. It's beautiful when we put all these gifts together into one plate, when everyone just work based on your own passion, your own strength, and your own gift. And when you put this all together, it will be a beautiful picture. Even King of Solomon saying in Ecclesiastes 4:12, threefold cord is not quickly broken. It means it's easy to break one cord rather than three. Another example of unity is, have you ever punched someone with one finger? How about two? Doesn't do anything. Ever seen a boxer doing this? They always do this. One, don't feel anything, like a poke. Two, three, yeah, four, it's not too bad. But when it comes, five comes together, then, you know, you feel the power. Don't try it here. But that is unity. These four men surely has work to do. It's during the day, but what they did, they dropped all the works that they had. They sacrificed. They put their efforts and time to carry his friend. When we bring friends, people to Jesus, we need to be ready. We need to sacrifice our time, our energy, and sometimes our finance as well. But this is all because it's our burning love for God. Imagine if one of these four guys quit. The whole trip is going to be a waste. We need a commitment. When we disciple people, when we build relationship with people, it needs a full commitment. People are not a project. Project have a due date. Project has to be done by this date, and that's it, finish. People are different. We cannot disciple people and reach out people and put a date in it. If they don't believe in Jesus by the end of 2018, then I'm done. I'm gone. We don't quit in the middle of the road. We encourage and build each other up, support each other faith. We also will have a better endurance when we are in a team. It's better in a team than you doing it yourself. Just like when you run a marathon, you never seen someone or one person do like 65 Ks by himself. It always be in a group. It's a lot easier because you're getting support. You're getting courage from each other. When you do cycling as well, we see a lot of people that cycle together. So because they know they're going to do a long trip, it's better to do it together. We are last longer when we are in a group of people with the same vision and the same goal. Having support from the right people, people who will pray with us and to bring us up when we are down. So after we manage to have a team and doing all that, the unity, endurance, commitment, tick all the boxes, and then we picked up this carry this friend of ours and start walking. But the journey is not going to end there. We may think that all the road is going to be smooth because we have a good team. But no, I can guarantee challenge will appear and it's going to be hard. Mark 2, verse 4 saying, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. So just look at the crowd now. Too many people wanted to see Jesus at that time, and that was the problem. It was like actually a good problem, but it's not good for them. But they can't get in. People are lining up. They can't even see where the door is. What are they going to do? It means once we're stepping out of our comfort zone, the challenges will arise. We can almost certain that is going to happen. So this is what they do. They remove the roof. Because of the crowd, they remove the roof. Let me just give you a bit of historical background on the house structure at that time. The house in that culture has that flat square roof, where people are using that roof is for praying, for sacrifice for the animal, and to sleep as well during summer, because it's too hot, so they went up to the roof to sleep. So it is quite a sturdy, strong roof that they have. But when they actually remove the tiles, remove the roof above him, they don't actually destroy the ceiling to make an entrance. They just remove the tiles. So imagine they've got this light wood beam, like a parallel, and they put a tiles from clay on top of it. That is the structure of the house in that time. And some of the houses, probably most of the houses, and this house will be one of the big one, they have that this permanent flight stairways. So it's not ladder that they use, but it's a permanent. It's a flight stairways on the side of the property. Some scholars suggested that the house has an upper chamber. This is when Jesus preached. Going back to the story, what we see in this story is desperation. This guy was desperate. They didn't care. They just go and pursue Jesus. If these five guys were not eager, if these five guys were not that desperate to see Jesus, if they have that slight doubt, when they see the crowd, they might just thinking, oh, well, maybe his friend is meant to be like that for the rest of his life. He might just choose to walk back home because they see problem arise. They see challenges. This is impossible. I never see crowd like this before. And how are we going to do this? Are we going to remove the tiles of the roof? We never done this. What would the owners thinking if we remove the tile of the roof? Don't know how they did. How they did this one. They might be running around to get some sort of tools to open the tiles. Might need some sort of screwdrivers to open the tiles and ropes to bring the friends down. Don't know how long it took them, but they managed to get the job done. When we're reaching out and making disciples, we need to be desperate and eager. Really put efforts and not easily give up. Be creative and thinking outside the box. Pray and God will give you an idea and wisdom on how to solve your problem. I like this one. This is probably the most favorite verse that the whole chapter. And when Jesus saw their faith, imagine this scenario. When Jesus is teaching and preaching like what I do now, people are looking at Jesus, have full attention of Jesus. And suddenly we're hearing a bit of noises in the ceiling. People are yelling, left, right, slow down. The dust of the roof start pouring down. Everyone stopped looking at Jesus, and Jesus perhaps stopped teaching. Everyone looked up. The manholes open, the sunlights fall in the meeting hall. Slowly, the guy brought down with the ropes. Down, 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 prices is down. No. Down, down, down. In the middle of the meeting hall, when Jesus is there, on the feet of Jesus. And that is the aim, that is the goal of these guys. Their job is finished because his paralyzed friends are on the feet of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. Jesus knows what they've been through there, how they got there and down here. Jesus loved people. He didn't mind to get distracted at all. In the middle of the sermon, when all where all eyes watching and listen to him, he chose to deal with his paralyzed friend who desperately come and seek him. Jesus loved their faith. Jesus saw their faith, including the paralyzed man. How come? Imagine if this guy doesn't have faith. He'd been carried by his friends to the house and go up and being lowered to the ground. He might be thinking, what, you want me to, you know, with this rope, there's no safety procedure, there's no JSA or swims or that sort of thing, and they brought down. How about if I'm going to get worse, if I fell from that roof, not going to be paralyzed anymore, but I'm going to be, you know, dead. He took that chance. He took that risk to see Jesus. He believed in Jesus is the only one that can heal him. He might be thinking as well, this could be a quite embarrassing when everyone's looking at looking at me when I brought down from the ceiling. Oh man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But no, he has faith. He want to see Jesus. He knows Hebrews 11:6 saying, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I read a story in one of the articles. This guy is a champion. He go to the gym every day, every second day. He's a champion in running on a treadmill. Everyone in the gym can't beat him. He runs the fastest, he runs the longest. Everyone knows he's a champion. One day, a group of like a semi-pro athlete came to him. Hey, do you want to run with us in a group? Oh, yeah, sure. Tomorrow at the gym? No, not at the gym. Outside, a few Ks outside. Oh, he felt a bit disappointed. But then, oh, okay, let's do it. Let's run together. Then he ran with the group, and he got smashed. He can't keep up with them. Often that's what we do as a Christian. We run in a treadmill with the aircon, or sometimes heater, listening to the podcast, and watching TV at the same time. We only practice our faith inside this building. But once we get out, we can't face the challenge. When we get out, there will be a challenges. There will be traffic challenges. You can hit by a car. You can chase by a dog. But at the same time, that's when you enjoy the beautiful moment, the beautiful view, the sunrise, the air that you breathe in. Real running is when we run outside, when we face real challenges. That is what our faith should be. When we step out from our comfort zone, from this outside this control condition, real faith is not happening inside the church, but outside this square building. By the way, this story illustration about faith. If you are running on a treadmill in the gym, please continue to do so. It's good for you. Keep stay healthy. I don't like running, but that's okay. Mark 2, verse 5 saying, son, your sins are forgiven. The word son is just a word of comfort and reassurance. When they come to Jesus with faith and desperation, Jesus saw him, addressed him in personal level, and he called son. This is the first time that Jesus saw this guy. But when we come to Jesus, very close, touch him, he will call you son. It means your status has changed. You have a new life. You have a new relationship with God. Relationship will just be gone. That's when we entitled to inherit the kingdom of God. Son, imagine if he just stay outside of that building. It's not close enough to Jesus. Jesus wouldn't be able to address him as son. Jesus knows every heart. Notice in the Bible, Jesus didn't ask whether he wanted to be healed. Jesus said, I saw your faith. He knows every heart. He knows your heart and he knows my heart. He knows what is in your mind. He knows what we want and what we need. And it's saying, your sins are forgiven. This is the reward that God gives. Best gift without asking. The bondage of sin has been broken. The freedom has come. the best reward for everyone is salvation. Jesus is beyond all what people can see. The paralyzed guy came for physical healing, but Jesus gave more than physical healing. Hebrews 11:6 saying, God will reward those who seek him. Mark 2:5 saying, your sins are forgiven. The Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sin. Jesus is the Son of Man. He's a divine person with a divine power, with a divine authority to forgive sin. This is one of the most complex music instruments. Over the years, these instruments were collecting dust, not being used, because it was out of tune. Experts were called to fix these instruments. One and two and three, no one can fix. They changed the string, they changed the mechanical components, they changed everything that they can do, but it still went out of tune. One day, the maker of these instruments came and he pulled things apart. He cleaned the dust. He cleaned everything, all the parts, with love. Replaced the old parts. And there's one little broken string that was inside that machinery, inside that instruments, that caused the whole thing to jam. He pulled that broken parts out and put everything together again, and then the music play again beautifully. Just like us. A lot of us has these broken parts in our life. This is what we call sin. Hey, Jimmy, it's only a little broken stuff, but yeah, it caused the whole music instrument jam. We cannot function in our life. God has put a purpose in you. He has put a big plan in your life, but then yet we cannot function because of this broken part, this sin that attached in our life. And the first prayer, it's saying, the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sin. We need to come to our Maker. We need to come to our Creator, so that he himself can take that sin away. Come to Jesus, because he's the only one that can forgive your sin and my sin. I'm going to close with this one. Maybe the music guy can come out. As a church, we need to work in unity to reach out, to disciple and to help people follow Jesus. In the past few years, this church has been focused on discipleship. About the pull the verse from the Matthew 28:19 saying, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Evangelism and discipleships are not easy, but it is important because this is the last message and last instruction from Jesus before he went to heaven. This verse summarized the reason he came to the world. Jesus' heartbeat is for the lost people. Why don't we try to carry this load together? Every leaders are different. Every ministry department run differently. But we still need to respect these differences. Hold hands and stay together in unity and accomplish what God's want in our life. Yes, as the church grows, we will have more problems. We will face more challenges. The message today is be brave to step outside our comfort zone. The Bible says Holy Spirit is a comforter and helper. If you are statically, happily living in one place, in one spot, we won't need Holy Spirit in our life to comfort us. We need Holy Spirit to comfort us when we step out from this building, stepping up our faith and rely on the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be His partner in this world, to reach out to lost people. You may also partner up with other people as well, with the church, with the life group. Many people will never get to see Jesus with the help of others, without the help of others. And hopefully, and I pray that we can be one of these four guys in the story to help people, to help our paralyzed friend to follow Jesus. Today, if you haven't believed in Jesus and never accepted Jesus in your life, never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you feel that you haven't functioned as what God called you to do and you haven't met Jesus personally, Jesus is waiting for you. He didn't mind get distracted. He's waiting for you to come down, to come near to Him, so He can call you son. Your sin has been forgiven. Let us unite as a church to bring our friend to follow Jesus. Take them close enough to Jesus, and have radical transformation inside out. God bless you.
Come on, church, let's stand up before the Lord. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily. This is my daily bread.
With us about this story from the Bible, where if you read this story, this is quite an interesting story, because the subject of the matters, the subject of the story is not the sick. The subject of the story is actually these four people. He was talking about, Pastor Jimmy talking about the unity, being a teamwork, and at the same time he also talking about the faith. You know, in the Bible, there are three different types where Jesus actually healed people. There are a lot of times where Jesus actually healed people because of his compassion. When Jesus saw the sick or the dead, then he was moved by his compassion and he healed them. And there are a lot of cases as well where Jesus actually healed the sick because of the sick's faith. Where the sick actually came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I'm sick, please help me." And because of their faith, then Jesus actually healed them. But there are actually a few stories in the Bible, and one of them is actually this one. It's actually where Jesus actually healed people because of other people's faith. If you see in this story, it was never mentioned that because of the sick that actually had the faith and asking for Jesus to actually heal. If you read the Bible, it did say, and all the friends' faith, and Jesus said, because of your faith in their faith, then Jesus actually healed him. Another story in the Bible also about where the Romans came, the Romans general came to Jesus saying that, "Look, I've got a servant at home that was sick, please heal him." And Jesus healed the servant through the Romans' faith. What I'm trying to say is, you know, as a church, do not see us as an individual person. That's not how church works. Because there are times where your faith probably not functioning very well to actually start moving God's compassion. There are times when you need other people around you, their faith that's praying for you, that actually move God's power. For those of you who are still as an individual in this church, you haven't actually been involved in a life group, I strongly encourage, be part of one. There are times where you know, when we are actually feeling far from God, the very last thing you want to do is actually start praying. That's when you need your other people around you to hold you up and to God. "God, I want to pray for this person, a friend of mine, a brother of mine, a sister of mine. Do not let him go. Do not let her go."
That's what the church is all about. That's what a life group is all about. It's about a unity, and it's about faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message today. We thank you that you are with us. We pray at the moment, Lord Jesus, to always increase our faith. More than that, Lord Jesus, let us be actually planted into a certain group where we grow together. Because that's what your words say in the olden days when you say churches in Corinth, churches in Philippines, churches in everywhere. It's actually a community. We are not called to be just actually a sole player in this world. But we are actually growing together in a community, in a churches, in a groups. Father God, bless us wherever we go. Bless us in this coming week. You protect us, Lord, with your power. Your grace is always with us. Your face shine upon us. And then you will turn your face towards us all the time. You give us peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Happy Sunday.